Live from Oasis Bar and Grill, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Listen, I can't dime him out. He didn't give me permission to review who he was. Big time Hollywood comedian texts me, writes this quote. Woody Johnson is Donald Sterling without the racism. The Jets are a horrible organization. They have the oldest quarterback in the league and are shocked he's playing like it.
Damn. Eddie Murphy got hot takes, boy.
Was that funny? You're the czar of comedy.
For a non-comedian, it was not. It's fine.
He said it was from a comedian.
I don't think I think the comedian was trying to be serious, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That one's a little deep.
Who do you think it was?
Scratch deep. A stretch.
Big question, who was it?
I don't know who Stephen A. could be friends with.
Rock?
Seemed like a Kevin Hart type. I think Kevin Hart's probably friends with everyone.
He's an Eagles fan, though. Would he be invested?
That's where this is going.
Oh, you know what? He's not. He's not an Eagles fan. He's a fake Eagles fan. That was pointed out recently.
How?
He's a fan of another team, and some of his old Philly friends called him out because, you know, he was on the field for the Super Bowl, and some of his friends were doing, like, a podcast saying, like, by the way, he pretended to be a Philly fan because he got invited to the Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Not real.
He's never been an Eagles fan.
Do you have the same issues with Snoop?
Being a fake fan?
I sat down to watch Sunday Night Football. The SO, significant other, is watching, and she goes into this defense of Snoop without me even asking about it, because she knows. She's like, no, he's really a Steelers fan. I mean, you know, he reps L.A. because he's from L.A., but he's really a Steelers fan. I just looked at her. I'm like, he's a chameleon.
Yeah.
Snoop is about doing whatever Snoop needs. And then no disrespect, but, like, to make money. That's it.
Yeah.
It's about making money now, which I don't blame him. The guy's in his mid-50s. Like, who's going to listen to two morons in Vegas on radio going, oh, you're not a real this or that fan? Who cares?
He's a shapeshifter.
And honestly, I've done this rant before. And if anyone's in the bar, we'll go outside and fight about this. kidding.
Open challenge?
Kidding. But if you are, like, 40 to early 60s and you're a Steelers fan and you're not from Pittsburgh, we know why you're a Steelers fan.
Cowboys, too.
And Cowboys. But in this case, it was Steelers fans because Snoop's a Steelers
looking
fan.
Look at some Cowboys fans over there.
Yeah, I'll box Big Tone over his fandom.
You
want to
wrestle?
Cowboys. Was he
this
here?
Is why you were proposing stand-up fights only in the UFC?
Well, I'm not grappling with him.
Yeah,
I'm not grappling with you.
Tony would take
I'm at a slight disadvantage weight-wise. Grapple is not the way to go. And that's not the way that real football fandom bar fights happen, if that's even a thing. But it is, sadly.
It is.
Yeah, there was a good fight in Denver. I wasn't there for it, but a bunch of media people were at a bar, and there was a real nasty throwdown.
I thought it was in the stadium with that raccoon.
That was different. That was a bad sign.
Is there a special breed
of raccoon
that
hangs out at stadiums?
In Denver, maybe at stadiums. That thing, it was like a dog. It was like a mid-sized dog.
Well, it's like the pandas that are or the dogs that are painted as pandas in China. You seen that?
That's
story?
So ridiculous. Why are they doing that?
Make people think they're looking at pandas.
I mean, the pandas are unique. You're aggregating panda culture.
Appropriating, I think, is the word
I
you're
meant
looking for.
Appropriating. Aggregating was stuck in the top of my head from all the football stories that
words,
have been stolen.
Words are hard.
Words are hard sometimes, yes. We're at Oasis Bar and Grill. I got that right. That's the most important thing. On Decatur, south of Trop. Taco Tuesday. Tacos, $1.50 up to $3. Then they've got great Mexican food in general, so they've got a football-sized burrito today. Shredded chicken with creme fraiche and guacamole sauce.
Taco salad, always my go-to.
Split down the middle, and you love the taco salad.
I do.
In that case, ground beef?
Oh, yeah. Extra black olives?
Okay, he's big on it. We're going to talk to Miles Simmons in a second. I got to give you some of the things coming out after Robert Saleh was fired this morning. There's a lot to investigate here, and I'm sure some of this will be cleared up, but it's pretty wild right now. One, Saleh, they say, had no idea it was coming. I don't believe that, but they say had no idea it was coming and then was told upon being fired by Woody Johnson, get out. And it was more than that. Here's security. Now get out.
Yeah, and apparently it just had a meeting in the morning changing the play calling duties just before he was fired.
Okay, that actually happened. See, I heard it sounded to me like there was a leak that people were alerted that he was moving off of Nate Hackett to Todd Downing?
Yeah.
And then a couple minutes later, that's when. So was there act that did this handoff actually happen?
Sounds like it.
Wow.
But now, is it still valid? Or does Hackett say, no, no, no. He's gone. It doesn't matter anymore.
Hmm. There's another one. Joe Beningo, who was a former WFAN host. He's a Jets fan. He's saying that because Saleh had, I don't know what these sweatshirts they're wearing are, because he had a Lebanese flag on it, that guy, that pissed off Woody Johnson.
Maybe. Woody Johnson's a man of international diplomacy, correct? He's the ambassador.
I saw someone respond to that by saying, wasn't that part of the initiative? Is people are putting the flags of their cultural origins on the gear, that was actually promoted by the NFL.
Yeah.
So somehow I don't believe the Lebanese flag on
that would matter?
Really? The NFL would agree to something, push for it, and then an owner would go, I'm insulted.
Well, the owner's like, I don't like it. Just because the league said to do it, I don't like it. I don't think this would happen. Obviously, I don't cover the Jets, and I don't know none around there, but I know Woody Johnson is a man that is interested in international politics.
Yeah, someone said, starting last season, the NFL Heritage Program encourages players and coaches to wear international flag decals and patches to celebrate their cultural origins. Saleh is of Lebanese descent. That better not be the reason.
The day, yeah. It was a big weekend, too, I mean, for that region, so maybe.
Let's bring in Miles Simmons. I'm sure he wants to dive right into all this nonsense with the Jets. Miles, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. I'm better than Robert Saleh, apparently. Although he has, you know, I'm sure millions of reasons to be all right through the next year. But it's still not cool to be fired in such a way. Can I just take off from what you guys were just saying?
Do it. You got 3 points to build on. Fire away.
Yeah, I mean, I think, because we were actually talking about this at PFT not too long ago, the Lebanese flag thing. And, like, Woody Johnson does not deserve the benefit of the doubt, but I just feel like if that really is something that upset him, that bothered him, like, man, oh, man, it shouldn't be, because it's something that Saleh had been doing for a long time, you know, dating back to last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago even, when they started putting these flags, you know, on apparel and things like that. Bill Belichick did it. Nick Sirianni's done it with the Italian flag. Like, this is not new. So, you know, if Woody Johnson really had that issue with Robert Saleh, then maybe you shouldn't have hired him in the first place. So that's one thing. But, you know, the other part of this, I mean, Adam, you're mentioning, you know, a man of international.
Let me jump in for 1 second. So the audience that Woody Johnson would appeal to about the flag, wouldn't that be largely an audience that also hates Johnson & Johnson going back to COVID?
I mean, yes. Which is
who's
same.
Who's the backer here?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. This kind of doesn't. That's why I don't. But things that can be ridiculous and then they fit with those folks. So, like, that's why, you know, like I said, Woody Johnson doesn't really deserve the benefit of the doubt. But I don't know. It's one of those things that it doesn't make sense to me. But because it doesn't make sense, I guess in some weird, strange way that. It shouldn't have been a factor. It just should not have been. But
the key that you said, Miles, is that he doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt, so you never know.
Exactly.
And I would lean that way. And also, to Steve's point, he is describing a certain segment of people who don't have the intelligence to be consistent or understand what consistency means.
Absolutely, Adam. And to that point, you know, Woody Johnson was the United States ambassador to the United Kingdom under the last presidential regime that we had in the United States of America. So I think more of a factor is Woody Johnson had a bunch of buddies, and you know what? The Jets, they kind of got embarrassed on an international stage in the country where Woody Johnson used to serve as the ambassador and would probably presumably like to serve as the ambassador again. So I think that's more of, hey, I don't like this, than, you know, than the flag thing. And also, Woody Johnson, by his own admission, said that he talked to Aaron Rodgers last night. Now, we don't have to take anything that Woody Johnson says at face value, because just because he says he didn't discuss the coaching situation with Aaron Rodgers doesn't mean he didn't, right? And or, you know, when this meeting that you were talking about happened, and yes, it we've confirmed at PFT that, you know, earlier today, Robert Saleh came in, had the staff meeting, and was going to take the play calling duties from Nathaniel Hackett and give them to Todd Downing. And if you remember, in the offseason, they basically tried to do the same thing, right? They were trying to hire somebody above Nathaniel Hackett to basically be senior offensive assistant or whatever, and have the play calling duties, even as they still had Nathaniel Hackett on staff, because obviously you can't piss off, you know, the great and dear overlord Aaron Rodgers. So they were going to do that. And then after that, Saleh got whacked. So I don't know if there was some period of time in there that Woody Johnson got wind of that and said, you think you're taking that responsibility from him? I'm taking that responsibility from you, or something else. But that's our understanding generally of the things that happened today at Pro Football Talk.
Or did Aaron Rodgers hear that his guy was losing responsibilities and say, all right, that's enough, Woody, get him out of here?
Yes. I mean, yeah, that's absolutely something that could have happened in that situation. But I mean, look, this is the thing that I thought about even when the Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett in the first place, right? Nathaniel Hackett is not good at play calling or play design. And then he was even worse as a head coach, right? So, I mean, when you are somebody who has the role that he had with the Green Bay Packers, okay, and that is about game planning, right, and also installing, and you have Matt LaFleur, who is the head coach and the play caller, your role is limited as the offensive coordinator. And frankly, it appears that that's where his role is best served. That's where he is best served, in that particular role. So when he now is the offensive coordinator and things don't look cohesive, he's not been able to design things. He's not been able to develop players. Players look much worse with him than they have other places. I mean, his claim to fame really is that in 2017, Blake Bortles, with him calling plays, reached the AFC Championship game against Tom Brady in the New England Patriots. Other than that, what's this guy done to be impressive at anything? And, you know, everybody got mad at Sean Payton when he said it was one of the worst coaching jobs he'd ever seen. But, I mean, was he wrong about Nathaniel Hackett? It's harsh. It's not nice. And did Payton probably get a little too comfortable? Yeah. But, I mean, what have we seen in terms of results over the last 2+ years now that makes anybody think that Nathaniel Hackett is good at being an offensive coordinator? I'm sorry, we've not seen anything.
I think Rodgers is going to get a real interesting reception from Jets fans. Now, I'm going to say something that's, you know, I won't really swear to with many fan bases. There is part of the Jets fan base that is not stupid. And I'll read you this. Most fan bases have some smart fans.
A few.
Jets fan here, translation, A-Rod and his inept OC can do whatever they want, when they want, whether injured or not being accurate or not showing accuracy. I think Rodgers actually will be booed or not supported if people believe that he ousted the coach in order to keep Nate Hackett around. Because it's pretty obvious that this organization is on offense. The lack of connection after all this time in camp, except that he missed a week to go to Egypt and then laughed about it. Like, oh, I'm fine. Like, you're not. Because Mike Williams has no idea what the hell's going on, and they gave a lot of easy throws to Garrett Wilson, but there were still throws at Wilson's feet. Wilson didn't know where the ball was going to be. I don't know why it's so disorganized. Go back to the false starts. That's clearly the culprit in this thing. If the guy's job is to run the offense and have it efficient, he has been the worst on the staff.
No doubt. No doubt. And, I mean, like I said, there's a reason why they wanted to hire above Nathaniel Hackett in the offseason. And, you know, they didn't get it done, and that is what it is. But, you know, there's obviously a disconnect between Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, you mentioned the false starts and, you know, the cadence thing and all that. Like, that became a weird controversy in part because Saleh said it out loud, you know, and didn't just keep that behind closed doors. And even if you do think that, man, like, you can't, like, as Roger said, and I kind of hate to defend him, but you know, if you know the snap count, you know the snap count. Like, don't jump. That's one of the principles of football that everybody understands, especially if you're playing on offense. So, Yeah, I mean, it just, it looks like it's a mess. And if you're right, if Aaron Rodgers does not improve his level of play, right? If the offense still looks disorganized and things like that, and you know, the Bills come in and they are the wagon Bills as opposed to the shrinking violet Bills that they've been over the last couple weeks, then that stadium could get really, really interesting on Monday night as they play a very high profile game on Monday Night Football.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, Peacock is with us. Definitely going to have to get to the Devontae Adams thing here in just a couple minutes, but I wanted you guys to go back and forth and explain to the audience, and I'm not sure much of the audience cares or realizes what's happening here with access, but something came up. Was this Bengals where this started?
No, it started with the whole NFLPA. Just the reason that the Bengals are the focus of this is because their player rep, Ted Karras, came out and made a statement to the media that made it kind of public of what their plans were. Essentially, what is going on is the NFLPA has long wanted media out of the locker room. That probably is not going to happen anytime in the near future because the NFL wants media in the locker room, and the media obviously wants to be in the locker room. So they're trying to come up with compromises or things that can be done. What the NFLPA is telling players to do is to, if somebody asks for an interview in the locker room, say, hey, let's take this outside. Let's do the interview outside the locker room, which, by the way, has been part of the media policy for – as long as I've been covering the league, as long as I've been in the PFWA, totally within their rights.
Which, by the way, would be helpful, or would have been the last couple years with the Raiders, because who was the giant pain in the ass who interrupted everyone's interviews to try to sabotage you guys?
I've tried to keep this out of the discussion because I think it's a kind of a red herring. But, yes, there is a player in the Raiders locker room the last couple of years. No, he's gone now.
He was playing this weekend.
Who, anytime,
Adam, we've talked about this.
I'm saying anytime that somebody was doing an interview on camera, he would take his clothes off and walk behind the interview so that you couldn't use the interview.
Oh.
And that was Jerry Tillery. And he'd also yell things at players who were doing interviews.
I only knew about the yelling thing. I didn't know about the naked act.
Yeah, he would do it so you couldn't use the interview. So the whole like sanctity of the locker room privacy thing, like it's a complete red herring for everything that's going on. It was a situation with George Kittle. There was somebody with a cell phone camera that was doing an interview. He was caught in the background naked. It was taken down very quickly. But they're using this as leverage to say, hey, this is what happens when media's in the locker room. Get out. The only thing I ask for people, because nobody's going to be on the media side. Everybody hates the media anyway. I get it. The only thing I ask is for people to frame the argument properly. It's not really about nudity, privacy, those things. That's not what it's about. And also, it's not about post-game. So I've seen a lot of people say, these guys are naked after the game. They're emotional. You're trying to get them to say something. This discussion isn't even about post-game. Mm-hmm. It's just about the practice week. The 45 minutes players are supposed to talk to the media during practice week and how best can be presented. And I will say this. One of the suggestions that has been put out there and that I've kind of acknowledged is say, hey, we don't need to be in the locker room. Instead, for that 45 minutes, go sit in a neutral room, the lunchroom, the film room, whatever. Sit there. You don't have to be in the locker room. You don't have to be changing. You don't have to be in your private area. Be available. Players say, absolutely not. So don't think that this is about nudity. It's about not doing press. So just frame the argument properly if you're going to have it. That's what I hope for fans, because nobody's going to be on the media side, but at least understand what the issues are. Sorry.
Yeah. No, Adam, I think you explained that really, really well. And, you know, I think the other benefit to it, and, you know, like you said, nobody's going to be on the media side with this, but it does enhance coverage when reporters are in the locker room, because it gives you a chance to get to know players when you're not just asking them, hey, why'd you drop that pass? Or, oh, what do you think of this matchup? Or what is that? I mean, you know, there are times when I've been in the locker room back when I used to do it every day, and you just sit and you talk to somebody for 5 minutes, whether it's about what their college team is doing, whether it's about something that they're doing off the field. You know, I'll tell you this. I mean, Max Crosby, when we were still in Oakland, he used to like have freestyle rap battles in the locker room. And what did that say about Max Crosby? I mean, he was a very interesting player. We already knew he was good by that point, but he was actually a really good rapper too. So, I mean, like, those are things that you can then utilize in enhancing coverage and having the fans get to know these players a little bit more. Everything is different now that players have direct access to fans and stuff like that through Instagram, through their own podcasts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I do feel pretty strongly that the relationships that you develop in the locker room when you're not just asking questions does help enhance the coverage, which then enhances the fan experience. So that would be my 2 cents on it.
I've heard from players in particular, there are some that are definitely fighting the union on this that want the media in the locker room. And one of the things they say is, I was in the league in 2020 and 21. I saw how different the media coverage was. I didn't like it because it wasn't personal. Yeah. And also, like, not for nothing, I don't think it changes necessarily people write. But there's, like, if I write something awful about, say, Max Crosby, guess what? I'm in the locker room with Max Crosby the next day, and he can come over and say something to me if he wants to. And that helps the players to understand, like, hey, I know who these guys are. I know who you are. I can talk to you about it. And it helps frame that, and it helps you get to tell their stories better. As Miles said, you're talking every day. You're just talking to guys. Hey, what's going on in your life? That kind of thing. And, oh, this isn't interesting to you? Okay, maybe I can write a feature about this and explain it to the fans that this is who you are off the field. Those things are never going to happen, ever. In a press conference setting, it's just not going to happen. I'm just as a personal thing. I talked to Charles Snowden last week about his big game. He told me a bunch of stuff about his life, his journey, and everything else. The next day, I came in. I did like a 20-minute interview with him. He was our cover story for this week. It's a story that never ever would have been told. And not that it was some great story or anything, but like it was. I thought it was pretty interesting. It was very well received by a lot of people. Never would have happened, and Charles Snowden never would have got that moment in the telly, whatever, about his life and his journey if I didn't have that conversation with him and that relationship with him.
Exactly. And so that's where, you know, I think people don't necessarily understand that, don't necessarily appreciate that. And there are players that do, like you said, but, you know, when you look at what the NFL was in 2020 and 2021, and Adam, you basically just said this, but that was not what anybody was used to. And it wasn't good, you know? And when something is so impersonal, it means that you don't have the level of understanding that you normally would. And so all of these things, I think, make a lot of sense. And you're right. This is why the NFL, which understands, you know, how the media ecosystem works, the NFL doesn't want this. And the NFL doesn't want media to not be there because that doesn't help the NFL make money, which is the bottom line. So, yeah, I don't think it's something that's really going to happen. I know the Bengals are obviously a part of this. And like you said, if it's been a longstanding part of the media policy that if a player wants to not be in the locker room, want to take it somewhere else where it's quieter environment, whatever, like they've always had the right to do that. And that's great. I mean, that's not a problem with anybody, especially because, look, if you're doing a one-on-one with somebody, right, and there's the media unwritten rule of, hey, if somebody's doing a one-on-one, let them do a one-on-one. But like, if you don't want other people to know you're doing a one-on-one and you go to a different room, that's great. It helps, you know, from that private conversation standpoint. So yeah, I think that this is, it's a big deal because the NFLPA wants to make it a big deal. But, you know, I've seen folks in the PFWA say that, hey, there are, and you know, some players said this too, there are other things that the PA should be worrying about that are not like reporters in the locker room during the practice week.
Well, let's build on that. Miles Simmons is with us, and let's turn to Davante Adams. I bet you the Raiders, now looking back, are like, you know, these paid appearances for players on shows like Kay Adams, that did not represent us or Antonio Pierce very well at all.
Certainly not.
And it has screwed the Raiders into a position here where I guess they can just hold out Davante Adams for a long time, but if he only wants to go to a couple teams, there ain't much value coming back the way this has been set up because of a paid appearance on a show where Antonio Pierce had really no say to counter Davante Adams' story.
Yeah, that whole situation was weird, man. Was it not? I mean, like, somebody likes an Instagram post, allegedly, you know, the account does. Who knows who actually did it? But then, you know, the coach didn't talk to the player. And the player, you know, at that point, seems to me like Davante Adams got a convenient excuse to be like, I want out, and like make it more public. I mean, I don't know. I don't know Davante Adams personally. And like, maybe that's an unfair judgment. But like, that's how it appears from afar, from a national standpoint. And look, players have the right to say, look, man, you know, this isn't working. Trade me somewhere else. But it behooves the player and the team in the situation if you keep that a little bit more quiet so that the team doesn't look like they're as desperate to get rid of you. And for the player, that probably helps because, you know, it increases the leverage that is private as opposed to public. So that's the way I see that. I mean, I think that there aren't many great options. You know, if you're Davante Adams and you want to go to a contender, you want to win, like, do you really want to go to the Jets right now in that dumpster fire? I mean, the Saints, who knows how long Derek Carr is going to be out now with the oblique injury that he suffered last night during that Monday night game. And, you know, obviously the Raiders are not going to trade him to Kansas City. I mean, Buffalo, I guess, is an option. You want to go play up there? I don't know what that solution is, what it looks like. But at this point, you're right. The Raiders do not have much leverage. So the return that they're going to get like right now is probably not that great, considering the kind of caliber of a player that Devontae Adams is.
Miles Simmons with us here on Cofield and Company. We're going to get into biggest surprises in the NFL when we're back in about 8 minutes, but I wanted you to chime in on one of them. It's my fifth biggest surprise so far in the NFL, and that is the Browns being 1-4, playoff team a year ago. Mm-hmm. How much longer can Kevin Stefanski just keep throwing Deshaun Watson out there, even with all the money he's making, before he's like, we got to save the season and we got to try someone else?
I think it's 3 weeks. November is, if they continue down this path, which I don't see how they can't, then they're going to have to make a change, because it's not just going to be, wow, Deshaun Watson's really bad. It's going to be a revolt basically from the fan base. And I think the other players in the locker room, which, you know, they're saying the right things now, which is good. Like, you know, Myles Garrett talking about how Deshaun Watson's working his ass off. Amari Cooper saying it's not just Deshaun Watson. It's this, it's that. And they're trying to put on the brave face, but the actions speak a lot louder than the words. And I think when you see the demeanor of everybody out there on the field, Deshaun Watson has no confidence. He sucks, right? You got Amari Cooper, who just is having these lapses of concentration for whatever reason, because he was an elite receiver last year down the stretch when Joe Flacco's playing quarterback, but now he's dropping passes. He's just not in it the way he usually is. David Njoku comes back and he, you know, is not really in it the way he should be either. It's just, it doesn't look good. And Nick Chubb, even if he does come back and he starts playing, it's not like that thing is automatically just going to take off, because right now the Browns offensive line is one of the most dog water units in the entire National Football League. So it's not all on Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is not the only problem, but he's clearly not the solution. So if it were me, I would have benched his ass now, because I think that at 1-4, you can still do some things that you can't do at 1-6 or 1-7, which is what the Browns are going to be if they continue to play Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. What's the plan later in the week, the schedule for Peacock?
I will be on PFT Live Thursday morning. So we will be talking about the upcoming Thursday night football game between the Seahawks and 49ers. Should be a good one. You can, of course, catch that on Peacock, and then the replays on Peacock throughout the day and on YouTube.
Miles, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
There he is, Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. Remember, on Friday nights, very cool place to hang out, Ellis Island Red Zone Riches. They give away $1,500 or more in free play every single week at 7 o'clock, and you can get information more at EllisIslandCasino.com. And they've also got a Friday night tailgate. David Perico and the Raiders house band playing there at the front yard starting at 8 o'clock.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Oasis Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, now I'm all thrown off, because I got to get to what Jake Glazer was saying with Devontae Adams on Levitard in a second. But, you know, I'm going to save the question about the media stuff for grab bag. By the way, Adam just got up. Like, you can never turn it off, can you?
No. Why?
Adam Hill radio guy. Adam Hill newspaper guy. You just walked up to the bar. Everyone knows what you do here. And I'm sort of impervious to it. Every once in a while we get into a good scrape, right? But you just got up to the bar and started talking to Johnny, the bartender here. Elliot's here. He's a Padres guy. John's a Dodgers guy. And you were just picking at John about what?
No.
We should be rooting for?
No.
A World Series?
Well, I went to Elliot and said, quietly, privately,
I'm rooting for the Padres.
No, I said, go Pods.
Yeah.
And then I was tattled on.
Yes.
The people saying, he just said go Pods. I said, well, yes. Yes, because if the Tigers are in the World Series.
Yes, you want
to
go.
I'd much rather make the trip to San Diego than L.A.
It is an easier trip. There is less traffic around the stadium.
Better
stuff
park?
Like that.
Easier tickets to get?
Yes. It is closer to international hotspots as well.
I mean, I think I'd be flying in and flying out for a game. I don't have time to actually go to the city.
You cover everything. Can't you come up with an angle to cover a Tigers?
I doubt it. Plus, I wouldn't want to. I'd want to be
Padres World Series
enjoying it.
Okay.
No cheering in the press box, so yeah.
There isn't?
No. not from professionals.
Here is Jay Glazer, and we pulled this because Glazer went on, and I don't think he told stories about anything incredibly unique or, you know, of breaking news ilk, but he and Lebatard did a nice recap of what really happened with Davante Adams and the timing last week on Monday and Tuesday, when essentially Antonio Pierce was set up to look like a buffoon who just forced a trade of one of the star players because he liked something on social media, and the timeline was completely different than we were sold last week by Davante and Kay Adams. But it actually starts out in very funny fashion about social media, so here's Lebatard presenting to Glazer.
What do you make of Davante Adams putting up Edgar Allan Poe on his social media?
What do you put up? I don't follow. I try not to follow social media anymore, man. That's what my wife is for. She looks at all that crap.
Well, people assume that it's because, quote the Raven evermore, that it's the poem. What are you making faces at?
Oh, he's not going to go to the Ravens. Not going to go to the Ravens. That's what we're saying. They think he's – that's hilarious.
It's hysterical. It is. It is. You can't help but
laugh. I'm not trying to talk over this. I had to do it.
It is like, funny.
I hardly get speechless, as you know.
So what was happening is during the interview, they just kept enlarging the picture of the tweet with Edgar Allan Poe, and sure. Glazer was all thrown off. So I was actually surprised that Glazer was like, I don't look at social media. You kind of have to now when you cover the NFL, don't you?
Yeah, of course you do. Like, that's kind of irresponsible not to, to be honest.
Well, he's also – but he's talked a lot about having serious depression issues, sure. So maybe social media can kind of do that to you if you're up there too much.
For sure. But also, I mean, it's not just Baltimore, though. Everybody's spinning it the way they want to. Because Edgar Allan Poe famously moved to New York in his 30s to pursue a different life.
God.
So people are saying he was just throwing people off the Ravens, and he's going to pursue the Edgar Allan Poe track of moving to New York in his 30s.
Have you written about this yet?
No.
Will you?
No.
Why not?
No. Oh, also, I believe, I have to look this up to make sure I'm right.
Just no.
I have to look this up to make sure I'm right. I believe Edgar Allan Poe, no, that's, oh, he died in 1849. So the 49ers fans are like, oh, 49ers. Yeah. Died in October 1849.
That's it. Niners. Clearly. Not really. Not clear at all.
Yeah.
Here's more Glazer.
Like last Sunday, everything's fine. Before the game, during the game, after the game, great. He comes in Monday morning. He calls up. He texts Antonio Pierce like, hey, I need to meet with you. And AP thought it was about, you know, the hamstring. And all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm out. You got to get me out. I don't want my career ending like this. I'm gone. I'm out.
So it happened that abruptly last Monday?
Well, I don't think it was that abrupt. I mean, I think, I think
we were talking about earlier.
Been falling apart.
Say it again.
Yeah, the relationship has been falling apart since training camp. And there's been little things here and there that we've talked about. And everybody kind of said, well, it's, you know, you're just making too much of it. Well, it wasn't. It was a clear deterioration of the relationship. There was no question about it. And apparently it got to the point where he just said, all right, that's enough.
They just kind of granted it and let teams know it's a 2+ if you know you want it. But I'll say this. There are people in the organization. There are teams that called about Davante. The Jets did. The Niners did. All these teams in the preseason. And Tom Telesco, their general manager, said, I got to give Antonio time with him. You know, we got to give AP a chance. But there are other people in the organization who said, man, we should trade him because we don't have that quarterback of the future and he's going to get frustrated. And eventually this is going to lead to this anyway. So let's kind of do it.
We talked about it during the summer when the receiver show came out and his behavior last year was disturbing.
Yeah.
And it also was the handwriting on the wall. And then the funny thing is people started freaking out and I said it on the air. I'm like, what are we doing here? He's not going to want to be here if they get off to a slow start. And with Gardner Minshew and Akon as the quarterbacks, they're probably going to get off to a slow start, or at least he's not going to be getting – he's, you know, 14 targets a game, so he's going to be unhappy. And the funny thing is, and I don't subtweet, so I'll point to JT the Brick, was like, that was from a show last year. What does it mean now? It means everything. It's a continuing sign that Davante Adams is probably not going to be happy unless he's excelling. And here's the deal.
Also, when did the show come out? Everybody saw the show right before training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. So you could say all this stuff was from last year. Antonio Pierce knew that there was going to be some stuff on the show.
Right.
He didn't know how bad it was going to be
Until
right before training camp, and that's when this relationship started to fall apart. So I think you can draw
and
that.
Now, and by the way, now by defending Davante Adams, you put yourself in a position as a media person. What are you going to do here?
Well, I'll
what are you going to do? So how do you approach Antonio Pierce's side of the story?
Yeah. But I'll also...
You're in this weird position where you're in between two characters.
And you can take this as a defensive Davante if you wanted. Like, I've been using this analogy a lot in different places and I think here on the show that Antonio Pierce keeps saying, I want to stop this roller coaster. I'm done with the roller coaster. This is out of control. We are on an out of control roller coaster every week. It's got to stop. And I've heard from other people in the organization as well that said the same thing. And yet it keeps continuing. And what I liken it to is when you're a kid and you ride the roller coaster at the amusement park, as soon as it ends, you yell, you look at the guy that's running it, that puts the button, hey, do it again. And he hits the button, oh, we're going around again. This is great. At some point, somebody's going to be like, let me off. I don't want to go. I'm done. That's the fourth time I've done the loop-de-loop. I'm done. And I think that's where Davante got.
I don't blame Telesco for thinking that this was going to give Antonio Pierce a fair chance. I think actually he miscalculated. Getting rid of him would have given him a fair chance. You can't have that many strong personalities who aren't going to fall in line in your locker room. Max is already an interesting guy to have on the roster.
Well, also, Antonio Pierce works when it's successful.
Yep.
I don't mean Antonio Pierce specifically.
You're saying confidence starts to wane?
I mean, a coach like Antonio Pierce works if you're successful, and they were successful at the end of last year. It doesn't work when things are going poorly, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Here's Glazer on possibilities of destinations for Davante Adams.
Look, you know, the Jets are in, Saints, they're in, they're, you know, Steelers play them next week, so maybe they'll look at it also. The Ravens, though, the Ravens love their team chemistry. I don't see the Ravens making this move. And it's also, it's there's not a lot of teams who have the cap space to just bring him in as it is. Like, if the Saints want to do it, they're going to have to, like, redo his deal or have the Raiders take on some of the money, which they don't want to do. So they'd have to, like, redo him to an extension where a team like the Jets don't have to do it. So there's a lot of factors involved.
Is that your read that the possible spots, the numbers are pretty small?
Yeah, but I throw that out because the Raiders have plenty of cap space, and I know they don't want to pay down the deal. But if the deal is right, if you're like, hey, we're getting a 2 and a 3 or a 2 and a 4 or something, yeah, pay the deal. Yeah,
you're spending money for better picks.
You pay his contract and get better picks. I think that they're saying they don't want to, but if that's on the table, I think they'd be open to it. They have plenty of cap space right now.
Dare I say, the Raiders need a lot of picks this coming draft. Just like last year, except last year they wound up winning 8 games, which probably don't want to do that this year. I don't like giving up on the season, but and there's no clarity on the quarterback right yet.
I mean, I would have to think they're leaning toward O'Connell, but they have not announced. I would say it's like 55-45.
What do you think of this one? Yesterday, R.J. Clifford threw out. He's like, you don't want to ping pong. Once you go to Akon, he's the guy. And I fired back. I'm like, I give the starter a half. That's it. There's some pressure. They also play well. Otherwise, the other guy's coming in. This is now a college system.
I also like the idea of competing this week. Since 50-50 reps, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Let's see who wins the job.
Game-time decision every week.
Every week. Why not? What do you have to lose?
It's probably beneficial.
Of course
it is. In terms of what you want, what you would do if you were, you know, long-term goal GM of the Raiders, Adam Hill.
Well, I'd bring back Nate Peterman and start him.
Right. I was waiting for that one.
Yeah. Carter Bradley, let's go, bro. You're in. It ensures that you get where you need to be, which is winning 4 games.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
We got Padres Dodgers coming up. 6:08 first pitch. Hanging out here, Oasis Bar and Grill. Dodgers house, right? Until Johnny leaves, and then it's the Padres' house, I guess. I don't know. Unless John's like, I'm staying all night. Staying all night, I'm controlling this place. There you go. Well, yes.
Went to sleep here.
Yeah. Big Tones here. By the way, I was just hanging with one of our buddies here, PJ, last night. And I walk in, I'm like, hey, he's here again.
So are you.
Yes. Entertainers have a lot of time to hang out with the people.
It's true.
With their people.
It's true. Our people.
Trust me, he's a different level entertainer. I was nerding out last night talking music with him. So, I'm very deep now. I'm very inquisitive.
I'm very surface level and shallow.
So. Well, you have become more surface level and shallow. I do want to deep dive for a second. I don't want to go crazy on this because I don't think most of the audience.
You don't want to go back into breaking down Edgar Allan Poe tweets?
Poe tweets or Gardner Minshew eating his boogers on the sidelines on camera.
It's a pretty classy story.
The whole thing with...
Have you watched the video yet?
No, I'm not going to watch that.
Also,
trying to cut down on media access around the players in the locker room. I thought Miles brought up a really good point about more access for more people actually is a good thing. Where's the line, though?
What do you mean?
Like, there are a lot of content creators who I would love... Because your point was, you know what? The NFL and the organization actually want the people who put out the most stuff, write the most, in front of the players so there's some accountability because naturally a human being is not going to slaughter Max Crosby and then show up the next day and be like, hey, Max.
Yeah.
Because if Max saw it, then, hey, bro, what's your issue?
It's happened before. Yeah.
But it's a double-edged sword.
Of course. Yeah, I will say.
People in who will just put out anything from the sanctity of the locker room and not respect that some things don't go public.
Yeah, I guess I'd try to be careful with this because I am in active negotiations.
You have a very important role. You do. No, you actually
I do. But I was talking to some players the other day that there's a couple of things that they said. They said we're very much in favor of media. They said they're in the minority. Like, there are players that are very against it. And, you know, we are in the minority in this, but this is why we think that you should be in here. But a couple of things that they pointed out was when the media policy was written, there was no such thing as a cell phone camera, which is true. Those probably don't have to be in the locker room. And the other thing is... they said there also was a higher standard for getting credentialed. And that has gone away. And they said, that's not your fault. That's the team's fault. But that's something that probably should be discussed as well. But if you think back to when the media policies were written, there's like four beat writers covering a team. All print, all newspaper guys, all with like, quote unquote, whatever, for whatever it's worth, a level of training and standard that have to answer to bosses. And that's not the case anymore. And there's people that have their own website with a cell phone camera in the locker room that are just trying to generate a quote and just want a video of, some guy talking about it. And that is different than what it used to be. And I think that has to be acknowledged as well when you're, as much as I'm very much in defense of the media and on that side, there are some things that should be addressed and acknowledged.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Have you been looped in on Sweatshirt Gate? Big guy Sweatshirt Gate?
Oh, boy. I guess not.
I don't really think it's a gate, but I'm going to create a gate.
Right. Well, we always do that.
Ray, superstar salesperson. Oh, yeah. What did you say under your breath?
Nothing.
Posted on Facebook the other day because he's had a big weight loss success, right? And he showed a bunch of big sweatshirts, double X and triple X sweatshirts on the floor, right? And I wrote as a joke, I was like, hey, our show is filled with a lot of big fellas. Don't just throw those sweatshirts away. I was joking. He brought them in.
Okay.
In a bag.
And nobody wants his sweatshirts.
That's not true. Griffin.
Okay.
I got myself a nice little sweatshirt yesterday.
He took one of the sweatshirts. So now we're fully in.
What was it?
Just a plain black hoodie, but, it's pieces like that you need in your wardrobe.
Nothing against Ray, and all I'm stating are facts. I think Ray's 5'6". You're 6'5". How does that even work?
Couldn't tell you, but I'll tell you this much. It fits like a glove. Fits like a dream.
Adam, would you like a big guy sweatshirt?
Oh,
I feel like the more we take, we're presenting ourselves as just hopeless slobs.
Well,
like, we can afford our own sweatshirts, but I also, I don't like to see things thrown away.
Well, we can also talk.
It should go to charity.
It should. We can also talk off the air about reasons maybe why we should take it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do I need a heads up on why I should not be wearing this sweatshirt?
No, I think you should.
Oh, Adam's got some secret here. Okay, well, I'm curious to hear about it. I promise it won't get on the air moving forward if you tell me. Thanks to Oasis for housing the show. Get on down here. Padres and Dodgers going at it. This is a great spot for football. Monday Night Football with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs is wild. Last night was wild. I usually show up a little bit after because I'm over at Ellis. But last night it looked like the place had been having a real good time.